Masechet Shabbat in memory of Marcel and Jack Shasho. Ruach Adonai Tanichim Began Eden. Amen. Daf Chav Vav. Today's daf has been dedicated by all the Jacob children and grandchildren for Refuah Shelema Ovadia Ben Rachel Matana. It's the Albert Jacob. Refuah Shelema, and he blesses the Daf Yomi Shi'ur and the entire DailyGemara.com organization for making the Daf incredibly clear and amazingly available. May you continue to elevate technology through this Kiddush Hashem. Today's Daf is also being studied. Le'ilu Nishmat Avraham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanichenu Began Eden. Amen. We are going to start on Chav Vav Amud Rishon, and we start 7 lines from the top. Since our Gemara was discussing the aparsemon, the balsam oil, so the Gemara continues to give a derasha regarding the balsam oil, the shemen aparsemon. And the Gemara quotes a pasuk from Yirmiyah. This pasuk was referring to after the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, when Nebuzaradan, who was the Rav Tabachim, he was the chief slaughterer of the Babylonians that persecuted the Jewish people, and he exiled the Jewish people to Babel. But here it tells us what he did with some of the remnants of the Jews that he had stay in Eretz Yisrael. Umidalat ha'aretz hishir Nebuzaradan Rav Tabachim lekormim Ulyogbim. It says that from the Dalat Aris, which would be explained as the from the poorest of the land, Dalat Aris, from Lashon Dal, from the poorest of the land, Nebuzar Adan had them remain in Eretz Israel, and he used those people Lekormim Ulyogbim. Now literally Kormim are those that gather the grapes. Rashi says that Lashon me'asefim, they gather the grapes. Ulyogbim, literally Rashi says Lashon yekabim she'otzrim, those are the ones that press the grapes. So what does this mean over here, that he had to keep people to collect grapes in Israel, or collect to press the grapes in Israel? So the Gemara says Kormim Tani Rabbi Yosef Elu melakete afarsemon. These are referring to those that collected, not grapes, but those that collected the balsam wood. Me'en Gedi, from Me'en Gedi, it's a place, Ve'ad Ramata, until the place of Ramata. Which means, it seems in Eretz Yisrael there was a lot of aparsemon, and therefore Nebuzaradan wanted to enjoy that resource, so he kept the Jews there who seems knew how to collect it and deal with it, so he kept them there in order to collect the shemen aparsemon. That would be the kormim. Yogbim, what are the yogbim? Elu tsayadeh hilazon. This is referring to the trappers of the hilazon fish. Mesulamot shel sur, from the heights of sur, ve'ad Haifa, until the city of Haifa. So that's where the trappers would be. Again, the halazon was a fish that had a very rich dye to it that the king would use for his garments. So therefore he employed these Jewish people who knew exactly how to trap it in order that he could press it like they press grapes. So that's why it's called yokbim, because they would press the halazon, so to speak, to get its blood out in order to use it for dyeing the king's clothes. Tanu Rabbanan, we have a braita. The braita says, En madlikin betevel tameh behol, ve'en sarich lomar beShabbat. Let's review terminology first. What is tevel? Tevel is perot, fruit, that the owner of the fruit did not yet give his terumot and masrot. So therefore the entitlements were not divided out. That food is, of course, asur from the Torah to eat, and it is called tevel. And the Braita here is teaching us that if, let's say, tevel becomes tameh, let's say something touches it, a sheretz touches it, and it becomes tameh, So it says, "En madlikin betevel tameh bechol." One is not allowed to burn the tevel tameh, which means to benefit from it on during the week even. Ve'en sarich lomar beShabbat, and it goes without saying that this would be forbidden as well on Shabbat. Rashi says, "En madlikin betevel tameh bechol sheken betahor." And all the more so, Rashi says, even if the tevel was tahor, they do not want you burning it and benefiting from it. Again, we just learned in the previous sugya about teruma, that is teme'ah, which the deen is you have to burn it. There we said you are allowed to derive hana'ah from the burning. Here, however, we're saying tebel, which is a step before the teruma was given, whether it's tahor or whether it's tamer, it is forbidden to burn it and derive hana'ah from it. So the Gemara says, Kayotsebo, similarly, another deen, En madlikin mineft lavan behol. It is forbidden to use as a fuel white neft. Neft, we said, is like an oil that has a smell to it. So there was a white neft, they called it. So it's forbidden to use this during the week. The en sarich lomar b'Shabbat, and it goes without saying on Shabbat. Now the Gemara is going to give us some logic for all these dinim. Beshtama neft lavan. I understand why neft lavan would be forbidden to use mipneshu af, because it's very flammable, and therefore we don't want you to use it during the week, and we don't want you to use it on Shabbat, because God forbid the person's house can catch on fire, because we said the flame rises and can catch very, very quickly. So we understand the neft lavan din. It's really a din in sakana. Aval tevel tameh, but the law of tevel tameh, my tama, what is the logic, what is the reason, which means, why can I benefit from tevel tameh through burning it? So it says, amar kera, because we have a pasuk. Va'ani hine natati lecha et mishmeret terumotai. This is a pasuk that we were doresh earlier. The pasuk says that God gives the terumot to the kohanim. Hine natati. Behold, I have given you mishmeret terumotai, the protected terumot. Now it says terumotai, which is plural. So the Gemara says b'shtet terumot ha-katuv medaber. The pasuk obviously is talking about two terumot. Ahat terumat tehora, ve'ahat terumat teme'ah. It's talking about terumat tehora and terumat teme'ah. And the Gemara makes it the Rasha now. Ma terumat tehora, en lecha ba, ela mish'at harama. Just like when it comes to terumat tehora, when does the Kohen have rights to benefit from it? Only after it was given, which means only after it was taken out of the tevel, then the Kohen is able to benefit from it, va'ilach, and so forth, so on. Av terumat teme'ah, so to terumat teme'ah, en lecha ba, you do not have rights to benefit from it, ela mish'at harama va'ilach, only from the time that it was separated, which means so long as it's tevel, and it becomes tameh, since terumah was not taken from it, it is asur b'hana'ah. The Torah only gives the Kohanim terumotai, terumah tehora and terumah teme'ah. However, the stage before that, which is before terumah tehora, would be tevel, regular tevel, that's tahor, that the Kohen does not have rights to benefit from. And terumah teme'ah, the same thing. Only when it's terumah teme'ah, but if it's a stage before, meaning before it was separated, meaning that it's tevel. Tevel tameh, the Kohen would not be allowed to benefit. For that matter, that's what the Braita meant. We're not allowed to use tevel, that is tameh, or for that matter, as she says, tahor is the same deen, whether during the week or during Shabbat. Why? Because you're benefiting from it, either using the light or cooking with it, etc. So the Derasha is from the Pasuk. Let's read in the Rashi together. Ma teruma tehora. Shehi la'achila. Teruma tehora, obviously God gives it to the Kohen for eating purposes. Shehi la'achila. En lecha ba. Ela mish'at harama va'ilach. You only have rights to enjoy it and benefit from it once it's taken, once it's given. But before that, meaning it's when it's tevel, asira, it is forbidden. Share tevel b'mita le'ochla. One that eats tevel, it's chayav mita. Af terumat teme'a. So too by terumat teme'a. Af al pi she'en ata ochla ela masika. Even though you can't eat terumat teme'a, but you're allowed to benefit from it by using it like it's used as fuel. Asul asiko betiblo. It's forbidden to benefit a stage before. So just like terumat tehora. Before that, it's tevel tahor. It's asur to eat tevel because chayav mita. So to my terumat teme'a. Before it's terumat teme'a, it would be tevel that's tameh. So that's forbidden in that state to use it. Comes the Gemara and says, gufa. We have a statement that we quoted. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar omer. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar taught. En madlikin besori. One is not allowed to use the balsam as a fuel for Shabbat. And we discussed the reason, because of the af, because of its dangerous, because it's flammable. And we also said gezerah, that a person might come and use it, because since it has a very pungent smell. Vechen ayah Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar omer, sori, the sori, eno ela sheraf me'ase aketaf. It is the sap that comes out of the tree called the ketaf. Now, what exactly is this second statement of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar saying, Vechen haya Rabbi Shimon? Is he just telling us another fact about sori, where it comes from? So Rashi tells us, let's read that together, En madlikin besori, and furthermore, another reason the Gemara is offering why you can't use the sori, because it does not come from the fruit, because it is derived from the tree. Siraf be'alma, it's siraf, it's the sap of the tree. And it's like the zefet, which we said is the pitch, the tar, that also comes from the tree. Ve'eno nimshach, and it doesn't draw properly. So therefore, the vechen haya Rabbi Shimon is actually giving you another reason why sori is not usable. Because since it comes from the sap of the tree, so it's not nimshach, just like we saw by zefet, that also is a derivative of the tree, that also doesn't have a good draw. That's one way of learning. Lishna harina. There's another way of learning. Vechen hayah Rabbi Shimon Elazar omer, lav ta'ama lemilte yaiv. He's not giving a reason why sori is not good. Elachi kamar ve'od hayah omer davar achir besori. And he was just giving another fact about sori, but nothing to do with why can't you use it on Friday night. So either he's explaining a reason why it's not usable, because it's sap of the tree which does not draw properly, or stam, he's just saying a statement. You should know something else about the suri. It's the it comes from the sap, a siraf ma'asa ketaf, from the ketaf trees. Rabbi Yishmael omer, Rabbi Yishmael says, kol ayoseh min ha'es en madlikin bo. Rabbi Yishmael taught, anything that comes out of the tree itself, so that's not a good fuel, and you're not allowed to use it for the nerot. Rabbi Yishmael ben Beroka omer, Rabbi Yishmael ben Beroka taught, en madlikin ela biyotze min haperi, which means he comes along and says, you're only allowed to use things that come out of the peri, come out of the fruit. As she says, le'apuke shemen dagim. He's coming to exclude the fish oil. Since it doesn't come from a peri, so therefore it is not usable. And then he says, ve'itran v'sori. And for that matter, he's also saying that itran would not be good, because itran also came from the tree. That's the residue of the zefet. And then the sori, which we just said, comes from the tree. So he's really not arguing on the first statement, because the first statement said, Rabbi Yishmael said, "Kol ha'yoseh min ha'etz en madlikin bo." So he would agree that etran is no good. The first statement, that's Rabbi Yishmael. And he will also say that Suri is no good. Rabbi Yishmael ben Beroka agrees to that, that Itran is no good and Suri is no good, because he says only things that come from the Peri. The Hadush of Rabbi Yishmael ben Beroka is that Shemin Dagin would not be good since it's not derived from a fruit. Rabbi Tarfon Omer, El Madlikin, Ella B'Shemin Zayid Bilvad. Rabbi Tarfon Shita is, you can only use one type of oil, and that is Shemin Zayit, olive oil. Amad Rabbi Yohanan ben Nuri al Raglav. So Rabbi Yohanan ben Nuri stood on his legs, Ve'amar, Ma Yasu Anshe Babel, She'en Lahem Ela Shemin Shum Shemin. What do you want the people of Babel to do? For they only have sesame seed oil. Uma Yasu Anshe Madai, She'en Lahem Ela Shemin Egozim. The people of Madai, they only have nut oil. Uma Yasu Anshe Alexandria, She'en Lahem Ela Shemin Sinonot. They only have the oil that comes from the radish. Uma Yasu Anshe Kaputkia, She'en Lahem Lokach, Velokach Ela Neft. They only have the neft. So therefore, Rabbi Tarfon, I could just say you could only use Shemin Zayit. So you're limiting a lot of different regions from lighting the Nerot, because they don't have the accessibility to these things. Ela, so therefore he comes along, Rabbi Yohanan ben Nuri comes along and says, En lecha ela ma she'amru hachamim en madlikin. Which means you only have what the rabbi said in the Mishnah, en madlikin. Which means, we learned in the Mishnah there were certain shemanim that were pasul. The Mishnah told us those pisul shemen. Whatever was listed in the Mishnah as pasul, that's pasul. Everything else is usable. Which means you don't only have to use shemen zayit, you're allowed to use all the other oils, bar the ones that were restricted in the Mishnah. Now Rabbi Yohanan ben Uri says another statement. Umadlikin b'shemen dagim u'b'itran. You're allowed to use the shemen dagim. Shemen dagim, Rashi says, v'afalgav dedami lechelev, even though it's similar to chelev, and we said in the Mishnah that Hakamim say, ehad mevushal ve'ehad she'enu mevushal em madlikin bo, that chelev we're not allowed to use. And you might want to say, fish oil looks like Chaylev, Chaydush of Rabbi Yohanan ben Nuri is, it's okay. And secondly, Ve'enu Yotzeh Meperi. And also, it doesn't come out of a fruit. So the Chaydush of Rabbi Yohanan ben Nuri is, Shemen Dagim is okay. Again, two reasons to think it's not. Number one, it's Domeh Le'chaylev. And number two, it's Enu Yotzeh Meperi. Kamash Malani says, it's fine. U'b'itran. And for that matter, he also allows the itran. That was the residue of the tar. That she says, "Ve'afalgav de mezefet kate." Again, even though it comes from the zefet, it's okay. Rabbi Shimon Shizuri Omer. Rabbi Shimon Shizuri says, "Madlikin b'shemen pakuot." You can use the oil that comes from the called shemen pakuot ubneft, and you can also use neft. Sumcho says, Kol hayosem min habasar. Anything that is a derivative that comes out of meat, from flesh, from basar, en madlikin bo. So that would come to exclude chelev. Chelev, since it comes from the flesh of the animal, chelev would be asur. Ela b'shemen dagim. Except for shemen dagim, he says that that would be permissible. So comes the Gemara and says, Sumchus hainu Tanakama. Sumchus is the same opinion as Tanakama, meaning Rabbi Yohanan ben Nuri just taught us that all the oils that were listed in the Mishnah are pasul, except for Shemen Dagim, which means what he was saying was Helef is Asur. Rabbi Yohanan ben Nuri is saying Chelev is Asur, because that's one of the ones that are listed in the Mishnah. But Shemin Dagim is permissible. Comes Sumchus and says, anything that comes from Basar is Asur, which would mean Chelev is Asur, But shem and dagim is permissible. So sumkos and Rabbi Yohanan ben Uri basically are saying the same thing. So the Gemara says, sumkos haynu tanakama. Ika benayu. Oh, there is a difference between them. The Rav Bruna Amar Rav. The Shita of Rav Bruna, the name of Rav, the lo mesayme. And it's not clear who holds what. Now let's review what Rav Bruna said. We had a Shita that said above that if a person takes Helev Mehutach, that is the fat, or he takes Shemen Dagim, and he adds oil to it, kosher oil to it. He adds an oil that draws. So Rav Bruna, in the name of Rav, said, you could use it. Again, he only allowed you to use Helev Mehutach and Shemen Dagim so long as you add oil to it. Now, Rav Bruna actually was talking about in his statement, just to get the clarity of what we're talking about here, kirbe dagim. Kirbe dagim means the innards of the fish. That's called kirbe dagim. And the Rashi over here tells us, ika benayu de Rav Bruna, which means the difference between sumchus and the Yohanan, even though we don't know which one will hold what, but there's a difference between them, because the Gemara concludes, Velo Mesayme. We're not sure who's going to hold what, but this is going to be the difference, Rashi. Damar Sarich Latet Et Hoshem in Kol Shehu. Iname, we could say like this. De Akshar Helev Mehutach Betarov Et Shem in Kol Shehu. Which means, Helev Mehutach will become Kasher so long as you add a drop of oil to it. That would be like Rav Bruna. Had me'anach tana'e savar. One of these rabbis, either Rabbi Yohanan ben Uri or Sumchus, hold the Rav Bruna that what? De chelev nitar betarovet. That chelev, if you put oil in it, will be good. Aval shemen dagim, but shemen dagim, but the shemen dagim that he said, the fish oil, afilu be'aneh. That'll be good even alone. Which means, you have to remember the statement of the rabbis. They both said, Helev is Asur, and Shemen Dagim is Mutar. So one rabbi will say, yeah, Helev is Asur, that's only when it's alone. But if you add oil to it, so it'll be Kasher like Rav Bruna. But Shemen Dagim will be Kasher straight, without even adding Dagim. So that opinion would not be exactly Rav Bruna. It's partially like Rav Bruna. Meaning, in the Anyan of Helev, he's allowing you, like Rav Bruna, to add kosher oil. But on the side of Shemen Dagim, where Rav Bruna said you have to add oil, one of these rabbis will tell you, no, Shemen Dagim is kasher straight up. V'had Sabar, and the other rabbi will say, Shemen Dagim al yedei tarovet. That Shemen Dagim will help you to mix, like Rav Bruna, aval Helev klal klal lo, but Helev at all not. So again, the other Shita would be like Rav Bruna, also partially. Jeez, that's the way that she's learning the sugya, which is a big chidush, because normally when a Gemara would say, Ika benayu de Rav Bruna, which is the difference is Rav Bruna, usually the way, normal way of understanding that is one shita will hold of Rav Bruna and one shita will not. Here the way that she's setting up the sugya is, no, the difference is that both will hold of Rav Bruna, but different points of Rav Bruna. Either one shita will say, Helev Mehutach, you can kosher it up with adding oil like Rav Bruna. But Shemen Dagim, no. Shemen Dagim, you don't have to. So that's half like Rav Bruna. And the second rabbi will tell you that, no, Shemen Dagim, you're allowed to mix with some more like Rav Bruna. But Helev, klal klal lo. So Tosafot takes Rashid to task on that style of, you know, an Ika Benayu, where it's still different than the normal Derech. But what forced Rashid to learn like this is based on the way that she learned the Mishnah on Daf Chavdalid Amud Bet. One of the kosher oils that the Mishnah said that Hakamim allowed us to use, the Hakamim Matarim Bechol HaShemanim, one of those oils was Shemen Dagim. That she explained over there, Shemen Dagim, Mekirbe Dagim Shenimohu. So that she explains in the Mishnah on Chaf Dalid that it's talking about the fish innards. Exactly the same item that Labruna was talking about. And therefore, when these rabbis over here were saying that Shemen Dagim is permissible, so that's based on our Mishnah. Because our Mishnah also said Shemen Dagim is permissible. However, what is Shemen Dagim? That is Dagim Shenimohu. And therefore, we're going to explain like this. Let's read the Tosafot inside to see how he says it. Ika benayu derabruna piresh bekunteras. Now she explained. Dehad minayu savar. One of the opinions holds dehelev mehutach shari betarovet aval shemen dagim afilu be'ene. But shemen dagim even alone will be okay. Now that is not like labruna. Vehad savar, and one rabbi will say shemen dagim b'ta'arovet. Shemen dagim will allow you to mix it up with the shemen. Aval helev klal lo. Vehashta Tosfot says, and now based on this, tarvayu lo savri bechula milta kerabruna. Both of them are not holding like labruna in, you know, and fully. Velo mashma achi. It's not mashma like that. Ubkuntras dahak. The reason why that she had to force this. Lefi shepiresh b'matnitin. Since he explained in the Mishnah, the shemen dagim haynu kirbe dagim shenimochu. Now let's analyze that. If he holds that that's kirbe dagim shenimochu, so the Mishnah clearly is telling you that shemen dagim is okay. Right? Hakamim hold Hakamim Matirim Bechol HaShemanim. And one of the Shemanim is Shemen Dagim. So let's work that out. How does she will understand? So it comes out like this. We have a Machloket, a very important Machloket between the Shi and Tosafot, how to explain the terminology Shemen Dagim. Rashi in the Mishnah in Chavdal Amud Bet clearly explains Shemen Dagim as Kirbe Dagim Shenimohu. Based on that interpretation of Shemen Dagim, when our Gemara here discusses the opinions of Sumchus and the Yohanan ben Nuri, that they talked about Shemen Dagim, it is also talking about Kirbe Dagim Shenimohu. According to Rashi, those words are synonymous. And therefore, the opinions of Rabbi Yohanan ben Nuri that discussed Helev and Shemen Dagim have relation to what Rabruna said. Because Rabruna discussed both Helev and Kirbe Dagim. Rabruna's Hiddush was that so long as you add kosher oil to either of these things, they become mutar. So based on this, Rashi was forced to learn. And when the Gemara says, Ika benayu de Rabruna, he was forced to learn that what? That each one of these opinions, Rabbi Yohanan or Sumkus, could not be going like Rabruna completely, but they partially were going. How? Because they made a statement. Basically, their statement was, Helev is Asur, Shemen Dagim Mutar. So you could either learn it by saying, Helev is Asur, straight up. However, if you add oil to it, so it's mutar. That is like Rabruna. And Shemen Dagim mutar, meaning Shemen Dagim is mutar straight up, that side will not be going like Rabruna. Because Rabruna said, Kirbe Dagim, you got to put oil in. Other opinion will say, Helev is Asur always. Helev Asur. Obviously, that's not going like Rabruna. But Shemen Dagim mutar, if you added oil. That side will be going like Rabruna. See, Tosfot doesn't like that because that's not a normal Ika Benayu. So how does Tosfot resolve it? He says, Shemen Dagim is a different type of oil. He says it's the oil that comes from the eye of the fish. And that's the Mishnah, what we learned earlier, that said, Hakamim matirim b'shem et dagim. That's a different oil. And everybody's matir that oil. Even the Rabruna is matir that oil. He was never discussing that type of oil. And when our Gemara says over shem et dagim, it's also referring to the shem et dagim from the eye of the fish. And therefore, the Gemara is saying like this, Ika benayu de Rabruna. Meaning, one of the rabbis would say, Halev is Asur. Halev is Asur, and Shemin Dagim is Mutar. Now, that could be going like Labruna. Halev is Asur. Why? Because you didn't add oil to it. Shemin Dagim Mutar, yeah, the eye of the that fish eye oil, yeah, Labruna agrees is Mutar, so that opinion would be totally going like Labruna. The other Shita would say, no. Halev meutach is asur legamre, and shem and dagim is mutar. That is not going like Labruna. So therefore, at the Tosfot gains at least one shita can be totally consistent like shitat Labruna. Again, how? Halev meutach, halev asur. What type of halev is asur? Straight halev. But if you add oil to it, okay. Mutar. And shem and dagim. Mutar, yeah, Shem and Dagim, if it's from the eye, Labruna have discussed that. Labruna agrees, it's Mutar. But the Rashi that learned Shem and Dagim is the Shem and the inner, that can be the Gim Shani Mohu. So he had to work out that you can only say partially one Shita is going like the either on the Halev side or on the Shem and Dagim side. But once you get the Shem and the Kedemet Dagim out of the way, like Tosfot did, because he says Shem is a different item, so then you could say it's a normal Ika Benayu that everybody's saying either one Shita is total like Labruna, and one Shita is not. The Gemara goes further. Gemara says, Tanya, we have a Braita. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says, Kol hayose min ha'es. Any type of material that comes out of a tree, that she says, for example, kanbus v'semer gefen. That is, they explain that to be hemp, that's kanbus, and semer gefen would be like cotton. So both those materials that come out of the tree, kol hayose min ha'es, en bo mishum shalosh al shalosh. It does not have the 3x3 rule. What is the 3x3 rule? So there's a law that says, and we're going to learn it, that if you have a garment that is 3 etzba'ot by 3 etzba'ot, let's say each etzba, for argument's sake, is about an inch. So you're talking about a garment that's 3 inches by 3 inches. It's almost like a patch, a square patch. So the hidush of the braita is of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar that if it's made out of hemp or it's made out of cotton, this item will not receive tum'ah. Other materials, like we're going to learn, for example, semir and pishtan, which means wool and linen, if you have a patch that size, it can receive tum'ah. Meaning, tum'ah of a met, or tum'ah of a sheretz, tum'ah of sarat, there's different types of tum'ah. Certain types of garments, they're too small, and therefore they do not affect, tumah cannot affect them. So his chiddush is, if it comes from an etz, for example, the kanbus and the semir gefen, they're not subject to tumah of shalosh al shalosh etzba'ot. Comes the Gemara and says, umesakechin bo, and therefore you're allowed to use them as schach. Now, one of the rules of schach is that the item has to be a type of item that does not mekabel tum'ah, that does not receive tum'ah. So, for example, one would not be allowed to use, let's say, different metals and things like that, because let's say metal would be able to receive tum'ah. Mashenken, once we're telling you over here that the kanbus and the semir gefen, it's not subject to the laws of tum'ah, so therefore it would be permissible to use it for schach. She said, "Mesakechim bo sukah il ve'eno mekabel tum'ah. De'en mesakechim bedavar mekabel tum'ah." Fine. Chutz mepishtan, except for pishtan. Now she says, "Chutz mepishtan, the alfinan nekaman." Later on, we're going to learn the ikri etz. Torah calls the pishtan. The pishtan is considered an etz. Umikabel tumat negaim. Pishtan does receive tumah. Afilu unin shebo. Even the bundles of pishtan can come. Hilkak emesakekin donin. So it's the same rule. Since pishtan is subject to tumah, so now already it's not going to be usable for schach. So that was Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar's rule. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar Abaye, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Vetana debe Rabbi Yishmael, Amru Davar Ehad. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, which we just learned, and the Tana, Rabbi Yishmael, they said the same thing, which means they derived their law from the same pasuk, which means wherever Rabbi Yishmael got it from, that's where Rabbi Shimon got it from. Rashi, top Rashi, Demehecha titi Rabbi Shimon demeutesh arbe gadim mitumah, which means he's telling us over here that only Pishtan receives tumah. However, other begadim like Semir Gefen, Kanbuz does not receive tumah. Where did Rabbi Shimon get this chiluk? Obviously, he had to get it from somewhere. Why did he put pishtan in a separate category? He says, "Ilav the itle haditana de Rabbi Yishmael." Must be that he's following another statement of Rabbi Yishmael, which we're going to see now. Ve'ilkach yotzem mina etz lav davka nakat, which is when Rabbi Shimon said, "Kol ha'yosem min ha'etz," he really meant any material besides semer u'pishtan does not receive tumah. He just said it in "Kol ha'yosem min ha'etz" because he wanted to discuss the subject of sukkah. So the inyan sukkah, he used the lashon "Kol ha'yosem min ha'etz," but for tumah, Rabbi Shimon really holds like Rabbi Yishmael, which we're going to see, any material besides Semer u'Pishtim does not receive the tumah of Shalosh al Shalosh Etzba'od. So the Gemara says, what's Rabbi Yishmael? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar had Amran. Now we said that opinion already. Tana de Rabbi Yishmael ma'i, de Tani de Rabbi Yishmael. We have a statement of Rabbi Yishmael. Ho'il v'ne'emru begadim b'Torah setam. The Torah, in many of the parashiyot that talk about tumah, mentions the word beged. Now she gives us some of those examples. Kegon, that she says, betumat sheratzim, right? But the Torah talks about the sheretz becoming metameh something. Betumat met, dechtiv betumat sheratzim o beged o or, right? It says the word beged by sheretz. Ubemet by tumat met it says kol beged vechol kli or vechem b'shekvat zera. By the tumah of semen, what does it say? V'chol beged, v'chol or asheriyah, alav shekvat zera. Upsisit al kalfe begdem, which means the Torah always writes the word beged. Now, ho'il v'ne'emru begadim b'Torah setam. Normally the Torah writes the word beged. Uparat lecha ha'katuv be'echad men. But when it came to one perasha, the laws of tumat nega'im, that's the laws of tzara'at, the laws of leprosy. When it came to the story of tum'at nega'im, the Torah specifically wrote beged, and then wrote semer u'fishtim. It gave you a specific. Which type of begadim? Semer u'fishtim. Now, we have a rule. It's called a klal prat, which means the Torah originally writes by the tum'ah of nega'im, beged, which means klal, any beged. Beged is a generality. And then it comes along and says, no, what type of beged? Semer u'pishtim. That's a prat. You just start off with a klal, and then you limited me to the prat. The rule is that it's only referring to the prat, which is now when it says beged, it only refers to what it said after. It's not all begadim. The prat limited it to what? Semer u'pishtim. And that was written specifically by what? Tumat nega'im. Now we have other type of tumot. We have tumat met. We have tumat sheretz. So we're going to apply what we learned by tumat nega'im to all the other tumot as well. That's another style called a mamatzinu, which means when I find a concept by one inyan, I'm able to apply it to other similar inyanim. And the Gemara says, Ma le'alan semer ufishtim, af kol semer ufishtim. Just like by tum'at nega'im, it's only talking about semer ufishtim. So to by all the other tumot, when it mentioned the word beged, what is beged? Semer ufishtim. So what do you learn from here? Abaye is telling us a big hadush, that the only two materials that receive tum'ah of a beged of three etzma'ot by three etzma'ot is tsemer ufishtim bilvad. What about other begadim? Other begadim, whatever they may be, do not receive tum'ah at all. Tsemer ufishtim anoget nega'im, sheretz, met, etc. That's the chidush of Abaye, and really the Bishimon ben Elazar and the Bishmael basically are saying the same thing. They're both saying what? That anything else, no tumah. Now the Bishimon said it, kol ha-yosem min ha-etz, which he said two things, for example, the kanbus and the semer gimot. It's really everything. It's not only kol ha-yosem min ha-etz, it's any material besides wool and linen. And the Rabbi Yishmael said that clearly based on the Pesukim. Rava comes along and says, Rava Amar, he says, no, Shelosha al Shelosha Bishar Begadim Ika Benayu. He says, no, there is a difference between these two opinions. There is a garment that is Shelosha al Shelosha. Shelosha means three tefahim. Okay? Shelosha is masculine. Tefahim is masculine. So whenever you see shelosha, you know it's referring to tefahim. Anytime you see shalosh, shalosh is feminine. Shalosh, you know it's referring to etzma'ot, which is feminine as well. So you have shelosha al shelosha, would be three tefahim by three tefahim. That's a large garment. Let's say each tefah, for argument's sake, is 3 inches. So if you have a garment that is three tefahim by three tefahim, it's like 9 inches by 9 inches square, that already is considered a substantial garment. And the Gemara is going to teach us that such a garment like that, already even a rich person, even the Ashirim, would wear such a, would use such a garment. A small little three etzbaot by three etzbaot, maybe poor people use that as a patch, but a rich person, you know, discards it. So the Gemara's Chetusha Kointe Rava is like this. You're right. The three etzba'ot rule, that's only by tsemer upishtim. That they agree on. But there's an argument that they have by three tefahim, by three tefahim, by other materials. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar will say that yes, three tefahim, by three tefahim, by other materials, does receive tum'ah. While Rabbi Ishmael will say, no, it doesn't. And what's the proof? Because Rabbi Shimon, if we analyze his lashon, he said, "Kol ha-yosem nes en bo mishum shalosh al shalosh." Yes, which means only shalosh al shalosh, implying that shalosha al shalosha, it has. So Rabbi is telling you they are at odds with something. True, they're agreeing on the shalosh etzma'ot din. That's a din only by tsemer ufishtim. Where's their argument? Shelosha tefahim, shelosha tefahim b'shaar begadim. Now let's read that inside the Gemara. Rava Amar, shelosha al shelosha b'shaar begadim, ika benayu. To the Bishimon ben Elazar, itle letana deber b'yishma, itle, period. He holds of it, meaning he holds tum'ah b'shaar begadim, shelosha al shelosha, letana deber b'yishma'el, letle. But the Tana of Ishmael will say, no. Which means there's no tum'ah, bashar, begadim, not three etzma'ot, and not three tefahim. So we have a very important machlok in Abaye and Rava. Abaye comes along and says, no, they're saying the exact same thing. Only tum'ah by semer upishtim, no tum'ah, begadim, by other materials. No matter how big. Not three etzma'ot, not three tefahim. Rava says, no. Yeah, they agree by the etzma'ot din. Only semer upishtim, but by shaar begadim, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar is going to tell you yes tumah shalosh tefahim, shalosha tefahim, and Rabbi Ishmael is going to tell you no. One more line, the Gemara says dekule alma mihat, but everybody in this argument However, agrees that what? Shalosh al shalosh besemen ufishtim mitameh b'negayim. That's clear. Which means 3 by 3 etzba'ot by negayim, that you're clearly saying. So the Gemara says, minalan. Where do we know that from? Which means all you see in the pasuk is semen ufishtim. It doesn't tell you the size. How do you know the size? 3 etzba'ot by 3 etzba'ot. It just says a beggar of semen ufishtim is metameh. How big? How small? So the Gemara says, minalan. So the Gemara says, detanya, because we have a braita. Beged, it says by tumat negaim the word beged. Beged, which means a garment. Enli ela beged. Okay, so that would teach me a beged means a full garment. I mean a regular garment. A big, full, complete garment. That can receive negaim. Shalosh al shalosh minayin. How do I know even a small garment of shalosh is ba'ot al shalosh is ba'ot? Tamud omar vehabeged. From the extra vav and the hair, so then already it's coming to include, no, just from the extra letters, it's coming to include to me even something small. Beged is a full garment. Beged shalem. Vehabeged, even something that's smaller. How smaller? Shalosh al shalosh etzba'ot. So the Gemara says, ve'ema lirabot shelosha al shelosha. How do you know? Maybe when it says ve'abeged, it's coming to include something. How did you know to include a 3 by 3 etzba'ot beged? Maybe it's coming to include a 3 by 3 tefahin beged. And saying what? Semer ufishtim is only tameh, receives tumah, if it's 3 by 3 tefahin. We all agree, you have to include something. Right. Who told you to include the smaller garment? On the contrary, maybe include the larger garment, because that's the lesser hiddush. Because 3 by 3 to 5 is a bigger garment. It's not even for the rich people, like we said. So, you know, you always learn the smaller hiddush. Why'd you jump to the big hiddush even by 3 by 3? Yeah. It's ma'ot. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Lav kada homeru? What does that mean? 3 by 3 to 5 is a kada homer. What's the kada homer? Hashta sheti va'erev mitameh. Shilosha al shilosha. Mibaya, which means part of tumat negaim is not only begadim, but the pasuk also says that the sheti and the erev, that's the threads that you're going to use in order to do the horizontal and the vertical stitching. The word they call that in English the warp. The warp and the woof. Okay, good. Which means those are, like I told you, it's the vertical and it's the horizontal going into the beged. Which means that thread or that stitching, whatever you want to call it, that material, let's say, that you designated for the sheti and the erev, that already the Torah says the material itself. Which means the string, that can receive tumah. So the Gemara says, if the string can mekabel tumah negaim, all the more so, 3 by 3 tefahim can receive. So the Gemara says, hold it. Shalosh al shalosh namelet. If you're making that kavahomer, so tell me, if the string can become tamat negaim, then 3 etzba'ot on 3 etzba'ot, for sure can become. So therefore, you don't even need ve'abeged if you're going with kavahomers. So the Gemara says, Ela shelosha al shelosha, 3 tefahim by 3 tefahim, dehazu ben la'ashirim ben la'aniyim. Which means that's a type of garment that's usable, whether it's to the rich people, whether it's to poor people. Ati b'kavahomer. That already you can learn from the kavahomer. Which means if the sheti, the erem, all the more so this garment that is hashuv, 3 by 3 tefahim. Shalosh al shalosh, however, la'aniimu dehazyan. That's a small little patch, 3 by 3, it's bound. It's only ra'ui for the poor people. La'ashirim lo hazyan. But for the rich, not. Lo ati bekal vahomer. Which means the Gemara is saying, the sheti in the erev is more understandable to say tum'ah than this little patch. Because the sheti in the erev is used in the beged itself, to make a beged. Mashiach, this is a finished beged that's not used. It's only used by the aniyim. So, just to conclude, at this point,
We're coming out. Vehabeged is coming to teach us what? 3x3. It's Barot. Oh, how do you know? Maybe it's coming to say 3x3 Tefahim. Nah, that I can learn from a Kal Vachomer from Sheti Ve'erev. Oh, why couldn't you learn 3x3 Etzbarot from a Kal Vachomer of Sheti Ve'erev? Because it's not a Kal Vachomer. Because Sheti Ve'erev is more understandable to receive Tumat Negaim than a 3x3 Etzbarot. So now we've proven what we were searching for. We proved that what? Tzemeru Pishtim. And we prove now that the shiur of Tzemeru Pishtim that everybody agrees on is 3x3 Etzbarot. The Gemara says, Ta'ama de Kadve Kera. The reason how we know 3 Etzbarot by 3 Etzbarot is the shiur for Tum'ah by Negaim. Ta'ama de Kadve Kera, because the Pasuk wrote the extra letters Ve'habeged. Ha lo katve kera, but if the pasuk would not have written those extra letters of ve'abeged, lo gamrinan be kal vachomer, we would not be able to learn 3x3 etzbaot from the kal vachomer of sheti ve'erev, because the Gemara is saying that sheti ve'erev is more plausible to say that it becomes tameh by negaim, but a garment that is 3x3 etzbaot cannot be learned by saying if Sheti Ve'erev becomes Tameh, all the more so Shalosh Shalosh. No, that's Gemara says that's not a Kal Vachomer. So at this point, the Gemara is saying the source for Shalosh al Shalosh Etzba'ot is from the Pasuk, from the fact that it says Ve'ha Beged. The extra terminology Ve'ha, the Pasuk could have just said Beged, so from the extra letters, we learn a din of 3x3 Etzba'ot. By where? By what the Pasuk was talking about. What was the Pasuk talking about? Semir u'fishtim. Ah, so how do you know 3x3 tefahim? How do you know that there's tum'ah by 3x3 tefahim? So the Gemara says we know that from a Kal Vachomer. What's the Kal Vachomer? If you're going to tell me that Sheti ve'erev, the strings themselves become tameh, so the moso shiloshah al shiloshah tefahim. So that's a legitimate kal vachomer. So that's what we're holding at this point. So comes the Gemara and says, ve'ema lerabot shiloshah al shiloshah bishar begadim, which means this is the way that she's learning. Who told you to learn from the word ve'habeged that it's coming to tell you 3x3 etzba'ot by Semiru Pishtim? Maybe the extra word ve'habeged, obviously it's coming to include something. Let's say that it's coming to include 3x3 tefahim by other garments, by other materials. Now let's work it out. Well, if you're going to use ve'habeged to teach me 3x3 tefahim by other garments, other materials, how are you going to know 3x3 etzba'ot by Semiru Pishtim? So that she says, we'll learn 3x3 etzba'ot from the Kal Vachomer. Which means, I'll say, if Sheti Ve'erev receives Tum'ah, Kal Vachomer, 3x3 etzba'ot. That's how I'll know my etzba'ot. And what? I'll learn from Ve'abeged, what is it coming to include? It's coming to say, Shelosha, Shelosha, Bishar, Begadim. So comes the Gemara and says, Amar Kerah, what do you mean? The Pasuk says, Beged Semir Upishtim. How could you tell me the word ve'habeged is coming to include other types of materials when the Pasuk specifically says we're talking about Tzemer u'Pishtim? Beged Tzemer u'Pishtim in. Beged Tzemer u'Pishtim, yes. Mid ya'arin ala. So Gemara says, no, this is what we meant. Ve'ema ki im'ut mishalosh al shalosh. Yes, we know the Pasuk is talking about Tzemer u'Pishtim. But the Pasuk is telling you that Tzemer u'Pishtim is subject to 3x3 etzba'ot. And other garments, no. About shilosha, shilosha, metameh. But maybe when it comes to shilosha, shilosha tefahim, there the pasuk is not minimizing it. On the contrary, ve'habeged is coming to include it. So yeah, let's get that point clear again. The Gemara is saying, we know the pasuk says simenu pishtim. And the Torah is telling you what? Simenu pishtim is subject to tum'ah. What shi'ur? Well, from the Kal Vachomer, I'll say, if Sheti Ve'erev is subject to Tum'ah, so even 3 Etzba'ot should be subject to Tum'ah. Good, so I know 3x3 Etzba'ot by Semiru Pishtim. But by other garments? No. What is Ve'habeged coming to include? 3x3 tefahim by other garments. So that's the Gemara's question. How do you know that maybe there is tumah by other garments, 3x3 tefahim? Gemara says no. There's actually two exclusions that are written by Tumat Negaim. Beged Semer or Bebeged Peshtim. Which means, if you look at the Pesukim in the Torah by Tumat Sara'at, in two places it mentions Semer and Peshtim. Had Lemeute Meshalosh al Shalosh, Had Lemeute Meshalosh al Shalosh. What is the Tzemer u'Peshtim is coming to say? That only Tzemer u'Peshtim is subject to 3x3 etzba'ot and nothing else? The second one is saying, only Tzemer u'Peshtim is subject to Shilosha Shilosha and nothing else. So once already you have two mi'utim, you cannot come to include the Sha'ar Begadim of Shilosha Shilosha. So in conclusion at this point, what's working is what we said from the beginning. Ve'ha Beged teaches me what? 3x3 etzba'ot. By where? By Tzemer u'Peshtim. Beautiful. How do I know Shilosha Shilosha? I learned that from a Kavahomer from Sheti Ba'erev. What about other garments? Other garments have no tum'ah at all. Not 3x3 etzba'ot, and not 3x3 tefahim. How do I know to exclude both? Because it says Tzemer u'Peshtim twice. Each time it's coming to exclude. One time three, it's not by Sha'ar Begadim, only by Tzemer. And one time it's coming to include Shilosha Shilosha by Sha'ar Begadim, only by Tzemer. So that's the way we're learning now. So that would make sense according to Abaye's approach. Abaye said that both Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar and Rabbi Ishmael are agreeing that there's only Tum'ah by Tzemer u'Peshtim, but there's no Tum'ah by other garments, whether they're 3x3 etzba'ot, or whether they're 3x3 tefahim. So we've proven that from the Pesukim. Now just one point of mention, that as you're hearing it, as you're learning the sugya, you'll find that at one point in the Gemara, when the Gemara wanted to include Sha'ar Begadim, the 3x3 tefahim rule, that she set that limud up, as we learned, that from the word Vehabeged, that would teach me 3x3 tefahim b'sha'ar begadim, and I would learn 3x3 etzba'ot from the Kavahomer of Sheti Va'erev. Tosafot has a problem with that understanding of Rashi, because just a moment before that in the Gemara, we rejected that Kavahomer. We said that that's not a legal Kavahomer, because Sheti Va'erev is more plausible than Shalosh al Shalosh etzba'ot. So how can Rashi now bring back that Kavahomer and say, yeah, I would learn Shalosh al Shalosh etzba'ot from the Kavahomer? So the Ripurat rejects that flat out, and he learns the Gemara's question at that point as follows. He says, really, I would learn as I was learning. Ve'abeged is coming to talk about 3x3 etzba'ot. That's the inclusion. By where? By Tzemer u'Peshtim, like the Torah says. And what's the Torah telling us? It's coming to say 3x3 etzba'ot by Tzemer u'Peshtim, excluding 3x3 etzba'ot by other garments. But all you see from the pasuk is an exclusion by Sha'ar Begadim of Shalosh al Shalosh etzba'ot. Where do you know to exclude Shalosha al Shalosha of Sha'ar Begadim? And since I have no exclusion, Ema l'Rabot. Maybe I'll come to say it's inclusive. Tanya the Gemara says, no, we have two times Tzemer u'Peshtim, one to include Shalosh etzba'ot b'Sha'ar Begadim, and one to include Shalosha Shalosha. So what Tosfot gains is he does not have to use that Kavahomer that was already rejected. And in truth, according to Tosafot, in the Dibur HaMatchil, Ati b'Kavahomer, in his conclusion of learning the Sugya, the Ripurat says, from the word Ve'habeged, the extra letters Ve'habeged, I know 3x3 etzba'ot, and I know it's applying by Tzemer u'Peshtim. And how do I know Shilosha al Shilosha by Tzemer u'Peshtim? Not from the Kal Vachomer. Even though the Gemara says that it's learning from the Kal Vachomer, Tosfot says it's really Lerav HaLemilta. He says it's unnecessary, because I can learn it actually from the word Beged itself. Because what is a Beged? Beged is a garment. Beged means a garment that could be 10 tefahim, 20 tefahim, it could even be 10 amot. Which is, once already, you're telling me the word beged, The minimum beged is, let's say, shiloshah al shiloshah tefachim. So there's no difference between a shiloshah al shiloshah to a 10 amot. So therefore, ultimately, Tosafot learns shiloshah al shiloshah from the word beged. So you don't really need that kavahomer of sheti v'arev according to Tosafot for anything. It's all beged will teach you any beged past 3x3 tefachim. That's semir pishtim, of course. Veha teaches you even less than that. Even if it's shalosh al shalosh, it's ma'ot. And the fact that it's written twice, it excludes other begadim from both dinim. Shalosh al shalosh is ma'ot, and shalosha al shalosha tefachim. Baruch Adonai Olam. Amen ve'amen.